It might seem hard to believe, but as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, Jesus is a realist. He recognized when he was among us that this world in which we live is a fallen world. And we learn that from the scriptures. It is a fallen world. And as a result of it being a fallen world, not everyone is going to be doing the will of our Heavenly Father, which means we're going to get hurt. Because our Father doesn't want us to be hurt. It's not His will for our lives, but not everybody lives in accord with His will. I mean, that should be obvious, but it needs to be stated. And Jesus saw that. After all, He's the Son of the living God, and He came into this world, and completely innocent of any wrongdoing, more innocent than the child in the womb, because he was completely sinless, he was put to death as a common criminal. See, there's something wrong with a world that would do that. It's a world of injustice. It's a world in which we're trying to make a human right out of abortion. It's a world in which men and women are sold into slavery. Even today, as we talk about liberating ourselves from having slaves and the like in the 19th century, we still have them today because we have men and women not doing God's will. They refuse, and they place money and value money more than human beings. That's not our Father's will. He doesn't like that. And you say, well, why didn't He fix it? Why didn't He fix it? Okay, so He saw this world. He knew we were going to get hurt. Why does He take this path and say, okay, get ready, you're going to have to learn how to forgive because it's a fallen world? Why didn't He just fix it so we wouldn't get hurt? Well, the problem with that approach is the way to fix it is to completely destroy this world and give us a new one. That's the only way He could do it. And He could have done that. He could have done that. But that's not the way He chose to deal with it. This whole world, now that we live in, is currently under sentence and judgment by Christ crucified, not to last. It's passing away. It's passing away. The Father has placed everything under His feet. Christ on the cross is judgment on this world because an innocent man went to his death. And we don't know when that's going to happen, but what we await, as St. Peter tells us, is a new world, a new heavens, a new earth, which means this old world, yes, it will eventually pass away, and that will solve it all. There will be no more injustice, no more people living as though God's will doesn't exist, and it will all be brought about by Christ. But right now, we're not there. We're not there right now. It's fascinating, the way in which Christ put on trial in our world under Pilate. It looks like He's so utterly defeated and vanquished, when in truth, what happened was, in putting Him on trial, this whole world was on trial, because innocent people aren't supposed to be put on trial. But He was. And so now the sentence and the verdict has been declared. This world will not last. And that means, though, in the meantime, you and I still live in this world until the new one comes. This is what we're awaiting. And so what does He do? Well, He says, okay, it's designated, it's sentenced to final extinction. But until then, there's a virtue you're going to have to learn if you're going to get through this world that remains. This world that crucified me is a world that's going to hurt you. And there's a virtue that you're going to need to learn, therefore. And that is forgiveness. That is forgiveness. Because if you go through life holding on to every slight that you're going to receive, you will be so burdened by the end of your life that you'll be lucky not to be bitter, angry, possibly hateful, and even resentful yourself. And see, that is a spiritual sickness. Christ wants to help us remedy by way of teaching us and even empowering us for forgiveness from the people who have hurt us, the injustices we have suffered. Because we can talk about evil and we can read about evil. We can even pay money to go see horror flicks that depict evil on the movie screen and observe it. But see, evil becomes personal when I suffer. And it's no longer something I'm looking on a screen at, like an observer. No, it becomes personal when I suffer. That's what suffering is. Evil enters our life, it starts taking things from us. And that hurts. That hurts. It might be your dignity that's being taken, as when a person is put into human slavery. It may be your life that could be taken by an injustice you never deserved. It could be your innocence in sexual abuse at a young age. You didn't sign up for that. It's not even due you, yet it happens. In a fallen world, of course it does. And it's not fair. But this world is passing away. And the only way to stop it from passing away is if we could kill Christ again. But we can't. He came back from the dead. We can't stop it. The new world is coming. But it's not here yet. So in the meantime, get ready. See, that's the realist perspective of Christ. He knew we were going to be hurt. He knew we were going to be wounded. He knew that we were going to be tempted to go sour in our spirits. I mean, it's a great world if you don't weaken. But what if you weaken and get hurt? Then what? Well, the world just says, well, we're done with you. Get out of the way. We're going to keep marching. And might makes right. Get out of the way. And see, Christ never does that because nothing is left behind. He's trying to get us all into the kingdom and not just the mighty ones. All of us. All of us. You might say, well, does that include me? Yes, it does. Even if you're the most insignificant person on the face of this earth, you matter to Him. Regardless of how the world treats you, you matter to Him. And that's the truth. That's the truth. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways. That he's just doesn't treat us the way the world treats us. He's all about another thing here. And he wants to help us get through life with goodwill and freedom instead of shackled with resentments, hurts, angers, and that means forgiveness, because forgiveness means letting go. And forgiveness isn't as easy as we like to make it sound. I mean, frequently I hear this, and it's a common interpretation of forgiveness. All I need to do is forget that it ever happened. And what I'm simply doing is taking it out of my consciousness and relegating it to forgetting about it. And that takes energy. It takes energy within, interiorly, for us to forget it's there. But see, it's still there. You've simply buried a hurt alive. That's all you've done. And that's not forgiving. That's not letting go. You're simply forgetting, at least from here to here. But chances are, it's still down there. And it's sapping resources to stay down there. And that's why forgiveness can be hard, because Jesus also says in the gospel, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's the path to forgiveness. And we don't want to go there, because the truth of the evil that we've suffered is incredibly unpleasant sometimes. And we'd rather just, well, I'm just going to forget about it, and I'm going to forgive. And forgetting about it like that is not forgiving. You're simply burying a hurt alive that's going to suck life out of you like a leech. That's all you're doing. So we need to come to the truth of the evil we've suffered in a fallen world. And I only know of one way to do that, and that's with Christ. It's with Christ. I don't think we're capable of doing that by ourselves. It's hard for us to face what's unpleasant. I mean, look at even the clergy sex abuse crisis in the Catholic Church. We haven't really dealt with it as to cause, because the truth is so unpleasant, we as a church would rather just sweep it under the rug. That's a very human response to evil. We don't want to see it. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to look at it. Let's just forget it's there. And in the meantime, guess what? It's still there. That's a problem. That can happen in families of origin, too. Everything was fine. We were the perfect family. And there's all kinds of cracks in that. All kinds of cracks there. And that's where forgiveness begins, is for all of us with our family of origin. That's really the first place where we need to begin to live our forgiveness. Because that's the first place that you're going to be hurt. It's not like when, or like, gee, I should be surprised that I was hurt in my family of origins. It's a question of when that happens, the virtue of forgiveness becomes necessary, because family of origins, they're all made of clay. All of them are. Every one of them. And therefore, we all have something that we bring with us into our adult life that we need to forgive. And I'm not even trying to criticize your families, but there is no perfect family. And as a result, we get hurt. Maybe mom and dad didn't always do the father's will toward you as a child. I need to forgive that. Maybe your brother or sister didn't always do, or a cousin or an uncle. Who was it? Someone back then wasn't doing the will of the Father. And when people choose not to do the will of the Father, people get hurt. In a fallen world, what's inevitable is people will refuse to do the will of our Heavenly Father. Now, in my case, I had alcoholic parents. I had to do a lot of homework to get into adult life, unsaddled by the possibility, which was real, of becoming angry and bitter. I had to do that work. That was on me. Sure, I could go on blaming my parents for having saddled me with that, but ultimately, it was up to me to take on the responsibility for my life and say, you know what, I don't want to go into my future like that. It just so happens I discovered Christ was a way to free me from that, and I began to engage it. to the point now where honestly I can tell you I do honestly pray for my parents and hope that they're in heaven. I pray for them on my rosary every day. Because when I get to the gates on my death, it's not like Jesus is going to say, okay, yeah, come into the kingdom, and I'm going to be able to go into the heavens and start ragging on my mom and dad. It's just not going to work. Because that's not the community he's trying to put together up there. It's a new world we're talking about. And will I be suited to the new world that's coming that I can't stop as this world is passing away? Am I going to be well disposed for that world? Well, a lot of that depends on how well I learn to forgive. And again, forgiveness isn't forgetting about it and then starting to cuddle up to the person that harmed you. I mean, please, that is so, like, not what forgiveness is. You may never be able to cuddle up or warm up to the person that hurt you. I was fortunate that I was able to, before my father died, to warm up to him, because he did get on the bandwagon when I was a freshman in college. And he was doing his own homework, as I did my homework. And we got very close before he died, to the point where I got very depressed when he passed away. My mother was a closet alcoholic, and she was much more covert and in secret, so I never was able to get closer to her, but I still had to do my homework. And that's how it is. And I pray for both of them. So this is what the perspective is of the gospel. It's not fantasy like a lot of people think it is. It's very realistic. Jesus knew when he came among us, these people are going to hurt each other. I can see it, because they're not interested in doing my Father's will. And let's face it, when you look at a cross, that was not, I mean, it was the Father's will for him, because he wanted to save us from what we do to each other. It was necessary in a fallen world. That's the only reason the Father willed it. And Jesus, thank God, he accepted that for our sake. Because he said it himself from the cross, Father, forgive them. And he meant it. Wow, that's amazing forgiveness. So brothers and sisters, we all need to come to this altar today mindful that we might need to forgive someone. I don't know who that is for your life. And for many of you, you know what I'm talking about, and you know how hard it is to forgive, because the truth of what you've suffered is very unpleasant sometimes, but it needs to be heard. You need to listen to what is that? It's not pleasant, I'll grant you. You might even start to get really angry as you get close to it, but the truth will set you free. And that's the promise of Jesus. Because when you discover the truth, he says, I am the truth. And in that truth, there's power to let go. So brothers and sisters, today recognize that in Christ we have freedom, but we also have the healing that comes from being able to let go of the injustices we suffer and to forgive.